From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the concluding portion of a message called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment, part of this series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Often called Faith's Hall of Fame, this chapter memorializes many Old Testament characters whose lives and actions epitomize the true nature of faith in God. The third of these individuals is Noah. The human race of Noah's day had corrupted itself so thoroughly that God decided to destroy them all. And yet the Bible testifies that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God commanded him to build an ark to save his family and representative animals from an approaching flood, and Noah obeyed, never having seen a drop of rain. We'll see that Noah's faith was characterized by belief in the gospel, by obedience to the gospel, and by allegiance to it. As Dr. Cairns will show, Noah's faith perceived the glory of God. He had an insight into the true nature of God. Then Noah's faith received the graces of God. In addition to obtaining the righteousness which is by faith, Noah received a promise of a great future, and he saw his whole family saved. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 10. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lo, I hear the voice of my beloved. He speaks to me. Fair weather is smiling upon the face of the earth, and he would not have me spiritually asleep while nature all around me is waking from her winter's rest. He bids me rise up, and well he may, for I have long enough been lying among the pots of worldliness. He is risen. I am risen in him. Why then should I cleave unto the dust? From lower loves, desires, pursuits, and aspirations, I would rise towards him. He calls me by the sweet title of my love, and counts me fair. This is a good argument for my rising. If he has thus exalted me, and thinks me thus comely, how can I linger in the tents of Kedar, and find congenial associates among the sons of men? He bids me come away. Further and further from everything selfish, groveling, worldly, sinful, he calls me. Yea, from the outwardly religious world which knows him not, and has no sympathy with the mystery of the higher life, he calls me. Come away has no harsh sound in it to my ear. For what is there to hold me in this wilderness of vanity and sin? O my Lord, would that I could come away. But I am taken among the thorns, and cannot escape from them as I would. I would, if it were possible, have neither eyes nor ears nor heart for sin. Thou callest me to thyself by saying, Come away. And this is a melodious call indeed. To come to thee is to come home from exile, to come to land out of the raging storm, to come to rest after long labor, to come to the goal of my desires and the summit of my wishes. But, Lord, how can a stone rise? How can a lump of clay come away from the horrible pit? O, raise me, draw me. Thy grace can do it. Send forth thy Holy Spirit to kindle sacred flames of love in my heart, and I will continue to rise until I leave life and time behind me, and indeed come away.
The swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome. when I view his blessed face and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for his mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. didn't see the millions. But as a father, he was perfectly successful, for every one of his children got into the ark. That was his purpose. But I think the words mean simply that he built an ark with the result that his house was saved, and he became the heir of the righteousness of faith. Very simply, sum it up. Noah's faith was the means of his own justification. That's the meaning of the heir of the righteousness of faith. What it means is, righteousness is by faith. Noah had faith, and Noah was accounted righteous. Noah, by faith, entered in to acceptance with God. Secondly, it's saying, Noah's faith obtained a promise of great future benefits that would flow from his acceptance with God, because he became the heir of the righteousness. The idea of being an heir is not only of now that you enter into a certain relationship, but that there are future benefits that flow from that relationship. Noah, by faith, entered into all the future fullness of redemption. That's what faith does. When it receives the grace of God, it receives acceptance with God. You're not going to be accepted by God by what you do. You say, well, I know that. I'm not such a fool you need to tell me that. But do you know it? The devil comes along to you. Your own flesh comes along to you. Well, if I could only do better, God would love me more. God would accept me more. And the more you believe that sort of nonsense, the more you get into the awful rigmarole of working to make God accept you, instead of working because he has accepted you. So what is the difference? It's the difference between light and darkness. There's the difference between liberty and slavery. So many Christians who ought to be living as God's free men have actually bound themselves about with such slavery that they've lost the joy of the Lord. Listen, faith in Jesus Christ receives acceptance with God and the merits of Christ, and you don't need anything else. Faith in Jesus Christ will give you God's assurance of every future benefit and blessing that Christ purchased at Calvary with the shedding of his blood. Acceptance with God means that you receive everything. Everything that Christ purchased. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If you've got Christ, you'll not lack anything else. Then, as I've noted, Noah's faith obtained household salvation. I don't want to be unduly controversial, but I do believe that the Bible's theology is based around two great covenant relationships. In Adam, death. In Christ, life. I believe also that God has specifically told his people that his blood-bought people have a promise for their family. That there is a covenant of God's grace for the families of his people. In fact, Paul puts it so strongly that he says that even where you've got the case of one believer whose partner in life does not come to Christ, and you've got, therefore, the divided home, he says, if that Christian will live for God, they themselves are justified and sanctified. But there is a sense in which they will sanctify even the unbelieving partner. And they will sanctify their children. Their children are not unclean. Now, he's not saying they're not sinners, but he is saying that they are brought into a very particular and peculiar bond of the covenant, as the Old Testament calls it. There is a promise that they ought to lay hold of. There is a promise that their faith can get a grip of. Noah's faith took a grip of that promise. And by faith he saw his household saved. By faith he condemned the world, mind you. By faith, standing for God, he could pronounce judgment on the world. But that same faith claimed the promise of God to deliver his children from the judgment. And he did see them delivered. Presbyterians historically, of course, have gone a lot further with that. And I'm not wanting to do a study in historical and controversial theology this morning. But I will say this, that I think that parents have too often fallen for the notions that have come from various quarters. I think the opposite swing of the pendulum from popery has just led to the opposite extreme of believing really that whether kids get saved or not is really a matter of the dice and the chance. The best you can do is just get them into, quotes, a good church and hope for the best. Well, it's good to get them into a good church. But I think you would do well as parents to recover the old Reformation idea of what it is to be saved. When you are saved, the old Protestants used to talk about you being in covenant with God. You've entered into the covenant of grace through Christ. And if you're in covenant with God, then they would tell you, lay hold of God by prayer, by holy living, by exhortation, by example. Lay hold of the promise of God that He will save you and your house. And don't sit back passively to let the devil lay hold of your children and take them to hell. No man who has faith can be at peace in his heart to see his children go to hell. If he has faith in Christ, there is that within him that is going to well up to lay hold of God for those children. It's very interesting, as Mr. Spurgeon once told an old Methodist of his acquaintance, that you become a Calvinist when you get on your knees. The old man said, no, I don't. I don't believe in election and all that. He says, you certainly become a Calvinist when you get on your knees. When you get down on your knees, you don't say, oh Lord, save every man, woman, and child in the world. Amen. No, you come to God and you start saying, Lord, there are millions in the world, but I want you to make a difference. I have children and they're going to hell and I want you to save them. Lay hold of them. Plead for them. There's a covenant promise, which is to you and to your children. That was not just for the Jews, but it's to them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a promise to your children. And though this may sound strange in the ears of many of you, tell it not in Gath, you would say. Again, it has been taken in wrong directions. But still, don't miss the basic truth. The first faith that will affect your children and their eternal destiny is not their faith, but yours. You ever think of that? We have come to the place where there's been such an emphasis on the believer entering into salvation. That is true. The Christian parents have lost sight of the fact that the first faith that affects the life and the soul of the child is the parents' faith. He'll not be saved simply because they believe. No, no. But because they believe, God will move him to believe. That's the truth. Faith perceives the glory of God, and then it receives the grace of God, even obtaining household salvation. And of course, we have to come full circle. This faith that receives the grace of God stands the test of the judgment, ultimately will be fully vindicated. Noah preached about a coming flood. Madman. Lock him up. But there was a flood. Noah preached the end of all flesh. Idiot! Who could believe it? It's not a theologian in the world has ever dreamed of that. But all flesh did come to judgment. Noah preached salvation by God's grace in the ark. Not one person in all that vast crowd would enter in. But only in the ark was there salvation. Noah's faith was fully vindicated. And I want to tell you, my friend, the faith that believes the gospel of God, the faith that perceives the glory of God, the faith that reaches out the hand and receives the grace of God, will always be vindicated. There's no chance of failure. The psalmist, in a different connection, somewhat, could say, I will lay me down and sleep. There's a sense in which you don't want Christians to go to sleep. But in the natural sense, yes, it's a good thing when Christians can lie down, sleep, rest, the turmoil gone, the upheaval gone, the despair gone, eternity no longer with a question mark over it, because their faith is in the Christ who cannot fail. And that faith that believes the gospel, perceives the glory, and receives the grace of our God, will be vindicated and will stand secure even in the day of judgment. I trust today that you will not be among those who have no saving faith in Christ and yet who simply shrug off eternity and glibly tell yourself it'll be all right. I trust equally that you'll not be among those who have truly come to Christ and yet who live their lives under the awful darkness of the devil's attack, but rather that all, of whichever sort, will get to the place of belief in the gospel, trust in Christ, and an honest, simple reception of God's grace in him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.